Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Thursday, March 21st, 2024. Thank you for downloading and welcome, everybody. Smiles, as Mr. Rourke once said. Welcome to Fantasy Island. Welcome to the NCAA Tournament 2024. Don't wear yourself out today watching all the games, but I can't wait to talk about them with you, and we're looking forward to it. So let's dig on in and have a great time. We got Mark Packer of the ACC Network lined up in just a second, and then we've got Notorious J-A-Y, a double pa-pow for you on this Thursday. Tomorrow, for you subscribers, and I thank each and every one of you, you can become part of Subscriber Nation. It'll be me, Scott, and Solly again, the OG crew, riding high and proud, and I'm driving all the way out to Scott's basement to do it. So it's going to be of mwah, chef's kiss, absolutely fresh quality, fish caught that morning, right off the dock, cooked up by us, and served to you. So if you would like to subscribe, go to zabe.com/premium and find out more. You can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. I should probably put any email access to me behind that paywall to force you to pay. You want to talk to me? You want me to answer your emails? Pay for it. Just kidding. I don't do that yet. I probably never will, but you can reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. This one from Mike Matthews. X2 not quite ready for prime time. He writes, Zabe, because I know you seek perfection. While X2 was well prepared and does have a sense of humor that translates very well to podcast and radio. Okay, I like this so far. What do you mean not ready for prime time? His lack of general knowledge of a region versus a pod pertaining to the NCAA tournament really made me question his overall knowledge and grasp of the game. In NCAA tourney speak, regions are the four groupings that culminate in the Final Four: East, South, Midwest, and West. A pod, on the other hand, are sites that host the first and second round games in an attempt to group highly seed regional teams to cut down on travel early in the tournament, as well as to get more fans in the stands. The pod system has worked brilliantly, by the way. For those of you that say, well, you complain about them possibly going to more teams than 68. You're just an old man who doesn't want things to change. Not true. The pod system has been a brilliant tweak. It makes the bracket look a little weirder because you have games that are being played in places and then they feed to different parts of the bracket. But no, it's been great. Anyway, Mike says X2 conflating the two terms, pod versus region, about a dozen times and calling everything a pod shows it was not a slip-up, it was a lack of knowledge. Tripping on these details, especially as a youngster, gives me the sense that he's purely a number-crunching analytic dude rather than having a broad love and appreciation for the game. While the analytic dude has a role, I find the board knowledgeable dude or the basketball knowledgeable dude much more interesting and engaging. Probably does not matter in the end. The kid definitely has potential, but I took notice. Feel free to pass it along to him. Feedback is a gift. Sincerely, Mike. Well, their feedback has been given. I'll be honest, I didn't listen closely enough to notice the conflation of the two terms and how that would have affected things, but maybe I'll go back and listen if I have a second. I do think, and this is what his dad has told me, I do think that he is a complete basketball junkie, that he played a little bit in high school and that he just loves basketball and he watches the shit out of it. So whether or not he conflated pod with bracket or region, whether it was because of just sort of a lack of knowledge or whether it was because, well, it was effectively the same thing to him, I don't know. But I believe he watches the games a lot and loves basketball, but I may be wrong about that. But anyway, thank you for the feedback. This is one from Dave Culbertson. Steve, enjoyed the pod with your exes today. That'd be X1 and X2. When you mentioned your Virginia strategy, yeah, I did. I said, I'm taking them. I'm adopting the mangy dog. Well, the mangy dog bit me. I now have to get 7 painful rabies shots with a needle a foot long right in my stomach. Bad idea. When you mentioned your Virginia strategy and knowing last night's results, it made me think that adding a committee cam to one of the CBS channels for the play-in games would be gold. Just a camera in a boardroom showing the committee to see what their reaction is to their last 4 in. Yeah, except they're such cowards, they would never agree to it. And they would still have their chin in the air going, it was still the right thing. You know, Virginia did not perform well, but it was the right thing. I likened it to, let's say you go on an annual golf trip, and the guy that runs the golf trip says he's got one more spot left, and you go to him, oh, I got a guy, he'd be great. Another one of your buddies says, I got 2 guys who would be great. But the trip organizer says, well, I've got this guy, Carl. Or I've got Carl, who's been on the trip before, and everyone hates him. Slow player, doesn't pay, stupid jokes, very annoying, gets too drunk. And you say to the trip organizer, no, not Carl, fuck him. Let him go. We don't want him on the trip. No Carl. And he says, nah, I think he'll be good this year, I promise. He says he's been working on some things. And you just hang your head like, fuck. Had all these other guys who could have been in. That's the tournament. The committee gave us Carl, the asshole on the golf trip that everyone doesn't like and knew. They knew he was going to be a problem. So now it's like, okay, well, looks like Carl went Carl once again. This one from Ryan Brandt. Zabe, 1%er here, thanks to my brother-in-law, Greg Coleman. I consider myself a Zabe stan. I've written many positive emails, and now it's time for a not-so-positive one. Oh, it's all right. Feedback is a gift, so says our guy Mike. Feedback is a gift. When X2 was butchering the pronunciation of Duquesne today, why didn't one of you step up and tell him how it's pronounced? I don't know. I know how to pronounce it. You do too. He didn't. Or maybe he didn't care. It was so effing brutal to listen to that kid with that much knowledge, which he had. but not to be able to pronounce a D1 team and have a grown ass and have grown ass men sitting there on the podcast not helping him out, painful to listen to. Sounds like Ryan Brandt went to Duquesne. I'd be willing to bet a little wager he might have. He also says, I don't know how much Katherine Heigl is paying you to promote her bullshit, but it can't be nearly enough from the biggest See You Next Tuesday in Hollywood. My friend was an extra in a movie and was told if she made eye contact with Heigl, she'd be fired on the spot. And to complete the hat trick of bitching, please, please, please cut down on the golf talk to one time per week. If you're going to talk about a niche or a niche sport we both like, then let's talk more NHL. Thanks for putting up with me. Sincerely, Ryan Brandt. Okay, fair enough on the golf. We'll leave that to the Capital Golf Gang. Episode goes up tonight or last night, so you should have it by now in your feed. It's a good one. As far as the Katherine Heigl thing, I assume there must be a spot that's running. I'll be honest, I don't listen to my spot loads. I don't listen to the podcast. Once it's done, it's done. I'm already thinking about the next one. So I don't know what, I assume it's a commercial that's playing more than you like. And I don't control all that. You know, a lot of these ads are, quote, dynamically inserted, unquote. And I don't have full control of it. I turn that over to Red Circle, my podcast company, and they handle that. But if you don't like a spot, skip over it, as always. Or if you've heard it enough and you don't need the service, skip over it, if you can. But yeah, Katherine Heigl, hot, but a total bitch. And I think that's why she hasn't done a whole lot of things in Hollywood since she was kind of a big rom-com star back in the late 90s. All right, with that said, let's take a quick break. On the other side, a double pa-pow. First, Mark Packer of the ACC Network on ESPN. And then, it's Thursday's Kids, Notorious J-A-Y, with a rousing FTG to close out the pod.
Hello.
How you doing, Pac-Man?
I'm good. Hope life's treating you well.
Everything is good, man. It's funny because I texted you about something you tweeted on Sunday. Or no, Saturday night, I believe, for the NC State stunner, right?
Yeah.
And the fact they went 5-for-5.
Right.
And since then, so much has happened. And then when this Clemson thing hit, I was like, perfect! Pac-Man went to Clemson, and he's on the ACC Network, and this story is bonkers.
Yeah, it's only going to get worse, too, I think.
All right, so for those that don't know, Clemson wants out of the ACC. And apparently getting out of the ACC, as Florida State has found, it's almost like an Indiana Jones movie. You have to get out of the dungeon and the pit. I mean, it's crazy. Clemson's lawyers say that the penalty to get out is like the entire conference operating budget. Is that right?
It's three times the conference operating budget.
Three times.
Yeah. Three times. And that's part of, again, depending on which lawsuit we're talking about, you know, Florida State went through this and tried to figure out that it was going to be costing them anywhere from $500 to $600 million to get out. And of course, Clemson's gone through with their attorneys to say, well, here's what the exit fee is for the Big Ten, the SEC, and other conferences, and the discrepancy between what the ACC number is versus other leagues. Again, I'm not a lawyer, Steve, as you well know.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be, unfortunately, I think a long and bumpy, rocky road for all parties involved, whether it's Florida State, Clemson, Jim Phillips, or anybody else within the league. And again, a lot smarter people will figure out what makes sense here. But I think the bottom line is anytime you have two major brands, and that's exactly what this is with Florida State and Clemson in the league, and they're looking to potentially just say, hey, you know, what is our way out? And like Clemson's legal announcement yesterday, if you will, made it clear that they are not making any declaration that they are leaving the league. They just want the ability to look forward to say, if we decided to go elsewhere, what is the path and what's it going to cost? So, again, a lot smarter people will get involved to try to figure this thing out. But I think anytime you have two major brands like you do with Clemson and Florida State in the ACC, it's not a great look for the conference, big picture.
Right. So,
and I, the bottom line is I think it's a lose-lose proposition, quite frankly. I mean, how much money is it going to cost everybody to, number one, either get up and leave or be forced to stay at a place that apparently they don't particularly care for. So nothing about this feels good on the outside looking in, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's like a marriage that goes bad. You can't you can't duct tape it together. If one person doesn't want to be there, it's just not going to work. Now, here's a super dumb question. Has Florida State dropped their legal proceedings, or are they still pending?
Oh, no. They are full.
Okay.
In fact, you know, the fight now is, like, who's going to have the jurisdiction to decide if this is a North Carolina case or a Florida case?
Oh,
and
boy.
My understanding is that will be decided by at least some judges next week. So, again, grab your popcorn. I don't think that any of these are going to be settled in the short term, quite frankly. And that's why, again, anytime everybody lawyers up like this and you see the statements from the ACC that they believe that all the agreements that were signed and agreed to are ironclad, and, of course, you have the Clemson and Florida State positions, like I said, this just feels like a long, rocky road for all parties involved here in the foreseeable future.
So I had heard in the Florida State thing that the ACC said that in order to see the league's charter, you had to fly up to North Carolina and you couldn't get a copy of it, but you could read it in one of their rooms like it was the Magna Carta or something like that.
Right. Well, the grant of rights is what you're talking about, and that is correct. There are no copies floating around like you and I trying to copy off somebody's paper. You had to get your team of lawyers. You flow up to Greensboro. Now it's Charlotte since the league office has moved here to my backyard.
Oh, God.
That's exactly how it works. So, again, and if you're ESPN, and again, I'm employed by them, you're sitting there going, hey, we don't want our business out in public in terms of what our negotiating policies are and everything else. So, I mean, it is a tangled mess with power brokers all over the place, from the league, ESPN, to Florida State, to Clemson. And again, you know, here's the SEC and the Big Ten sitting back going, hey, listen, we like our position. We're making more money than God. Are there some entities and properties of the ACC that would be good fits if this thing dissolved? Of course there would be. And while we're talking about Clemson and Florida State a lot, quite frankly, I think North Carolina is the one sitting there holding maybe a couple aces up their sleeve. They're the ones that, from an AAU accreditation standpoint, become appealing to the Big Ten in particular. Their brand obviously is incredibly good, and they're in a footprint where neither the Big Ten nor the SEC happen to be in the state of North Carolina. So, again, there's so many layers to this, and I think we're just literally scratching the surface, quite frankly.
I hate this. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate that the fact the Pac-12 is no longer, because no sense.
Yeah,
and I see this happening to the ACC, and I don't need to tell you, you grew up in the cradle of it with your father and right there in Carolina, but I, too, growing up in Northern Virginia, that's all I watched. That's all I was weaned on growing up. And, of course, Maryland was in the ACC.
Right.
If this league gets torn to pieces, man, oh, man, I'm going to hate it.
Well, I mean, you know, all you just said is 1,000% right. And to be honest with you, Steve, the college sports that we all grew up with, quite frankly, doesn't exist anymore.
I know.
I mean, I don't even recognize it anymore. And I'm in it. And I got a front row seat. And there's a big part of me when you say, hey, man, I can't wait for that Big Ten game between Rutgers and Oregon. I can't wait for the ACC game of the week between Stanford and Miami. What are we talking about? I mean, you know, I don't even connect to it anymore. And I'm in it. So
I know.
Grab, and it is what it is, and you know, we're just gonna have to make the best of it. And that's not even talking about the issues of the transfer portal or name, image, and likeness, and the NCAA's inability to do anything. I mean, like I said, there's so many layers of nonsense, but we're just on the doorstep, I think, of just walking into an empty room just to see what in the world's out there. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, my co-host, Brian Butch, Wisconsin stalwart 7-footer, sent me a little tweet of NC State guard LJ Thomas entering the portal, and it said he averaged 2.6 points, 1.1 rebounds, and I kind of looked at it and I'm like, okay, good luck, and I didn't even put two and two together. I was like, oh, wait a minute, NC State? So he already punched out to the portal? They're in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, here we are. March Madness is getting cranked up, and 450 players have already earmarked themselves into the portal. Like I said, it's just a different universe. I mean, you know, we all growing up this part of the time would go, oh, my God, we can't wait for Thursday and Friday, the first round, if you will, you know, the NCAA tournament. And there's so much stuff floating around that, sometimes it unfortunately takes away from what we love the most. I'm just hoping that the tournament delivers like it normally does, that we can kind of put all this legalese to the back burner for at least a little bit.
All right, let's focus on the good. What NC State did was amazing.
Yep.
And it had never been done before in the ACC. And if I'm not mistaken, this unlocked two more years for Coach Keats automatically, yep. Right?
Correct.
Wow. Okay.
Pretty good.
So as you watched that unfold, what were you thinking as a longtime ACC guy?
Well, you know, I first thought of UConn, who was the only other Power 5, if you will, Power 6 conference that had anything like this, where you just saw somebody go nuts with Kemba Walker and all that stuff, and then UConn just went crazy in the tournament. But as far as the ACC goes, listen, we saw Virginia Tech a couple years ago win 4 in Brooklyn, which was out of the blue. Duke's done it in terms of 4, but nobody's done 5. And ironically, NC State, I had to look it up because I just didn't remember it. But the last time NC State had won 5 games in a row at any point in time was at the end of the COVID year. I mean, so forget about 5 wins and 5 nights and punching your ticket and contract extensions. We just haven't seen NC State win 5 games in a row, period, in the last couple of years. But to do it, and here's the other thing, Steve, they did the 5 teams they beat are 5 teams that have all won the national championship. I mean, so it was just an amazing.
Wow.
And I mean, did you go down the list?
I didn't hear that yet. That now that I think about that, my mind's even more blown.
Right. Virginia, no problem. They won 1. Duke, yeah. Carolina, yeah, got that. Who else to beat? Louisville, yeah, beat them. Syracuse, yeah, them too. I mean,
collect them all.
Yeah, they got them all. And there's 6 teams in the ACC, current ACC members, that have won the national championship. NC State's one of them, and State beat the other 5 in 5 nights to win it all. So, I mean, it was just ridiculous. And the fact that it's the 50-year anniversary of the NC State-Maryland greatest ACC game, basketball game ever played, which was in the ACC tournament in Greensboro in 74. And here we are 50 years later, and NC State's doing another thing that we're going to talk about 50 years from now when we're all dead. Right. They'll talk about what NC State did in the 2024 ACC tournament. It was really remarkable. But D.C. did a great job hosting the event. It's a great city, so much to do. But NC State was an amazing story, no question.
That was David Thompson in 74, right? And the final was like, I think they got to 100 in that game, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was an overtime game. It was like 103-100 against Tom McMillan, Len Elmore, John Lucas, and all those guys. And that was the same team that went on a couple weeks later and beat Bill Walton and ended UCLA's streak in this national semis, and they beat Al McGuire in the finals in 74 in Greensboro. Yeah. So a phenomenal era for NC State basketball.
You know, I need to check in on our former colleague at WFNZ, Mark Yarbrough, who was the resident Wolfpack fanatic. He must be absolutely giddy right now.
Well, it's funny. Sunday, I was back here in Charlotte after coming back from D.C., and to the mailbox because I like to do my mail on Sunday because nobody bothers me. I walked to the mailbox down the street and there were 3 NC State guys stopped me and they were in tears. Pat, can you believe it? We Carolina and again, you know, you've lived in North Carolina long enough to understand how this stuff people worry about it 24/7, 365. But State's win, that's the first time they had won the ACC championship since 1987. And there's grown adults even this week who are teary when they come up to you about how emotional it was for them to win and to beat North Carolina of all people. I mean, they beat Carolina. I mean, it's just a crazy, crazy run for NC State.
Yeah, I came to learn, and I was only there for about 2 years, I came to learn that the NC State fan base, vast and more blue-collar-oriented mindset, you know, North Carolina was the hoi polloi of the elites, you know. And so they hadn't had real relevance or punch since Valvano in 83, and they had always desperately craved that. So I got that vibe distinctly when I lived down there.
Yeah, listen, you know, they won the championship, national championship in 74 and 83. And when your next door neighbors are Duke and Carolina, now when I say next door neighbors, as you know,
right there,
they're just a couple miles down the road. So they've been living in that shadow and that aggravation for decades. Yeah. And, you know, they finally got their chance this past week to say, guess what? We're putting a banner up here in Raleigh. And good for them. Their fan base is incredibly loyal. Football, basketball, baseball, doesn't matter the sport. They just want to be a factor. But obviously what they did last week was just off the charts incredible.
All right. As the host on ACC Network on ESPN, you did something very smart, which was you tweeted this morning, I had to sleep on it before posting about the UVA first four game. Wow, that was unsightly. Very kind wording right there. This year, UVA hoops reminded me of Iowa football. Well done, Packer, because in the moment last night, I think a lot of us were going to tweet out some pretty salty things.
Well, and I have grown and become more mature. I'm also getting off X as often as I can. So I have learned that when I get pissed off, which is quite often, actually.
We all do.
I decide not to go on X or. And it was funny. I was watching the game last night, and I was dumbfounded. Again, I've seen Virginia this year. This is not a vintage Virginia basketball team, even though they do have wins against A&M in Florida, and they won at Clemson. And you could have easily made the case they shouldn't have been in the tournament. I get all of that. But when they've been bad this year, Steve, they have gotten destroyed. I think this was their sixth game this year in which they've lost by 20 or more points. And they're offensively challenged on a good day. But when they have a bad offensive day, and they did last night, it is almost unwatchable. And again, last night, unfortunately for them, not only was Colorado State better, but Virginia was just terrible. And their terrible is really ugly. And that's why I didn't even go on social media. I'm watching in bed last night, and my wife was like, are we still watching this? I'm like, well, you don't have to. And she goes, well, I said, I have to do this for work. And so that's exactly why I didn't go on social media. I did it the first thing I got out of bed this morning, and the first word that popped in my head was unsightly. Yeah. I didn't know because I was looking at myself in the mirror or just reminiscent. Oh, my God, that was Virginia last night, missing 19 consecutive shots. So, listen, Tony Bennett is a great coach.
Yeah.
His style is his style. But, you know, this team didn't have NBA talent like his 2019 team did. And not that was a great offensive team either. But when you've got three or four guys that are still hanging around in the NBA, you still have a chance to score. That team last night could not beat me or you in a game of horse.
So, it was bad. I think most of us were walking around our living rooms talking to nobody going, they got 14 points. They have 14. Right. 14 right. At halftime. What is this?
And here's the thing. As you watch the second half and Colorado State jumps out on an 8-0 run to start things off, you're thinking – okay, it reminded me, quite frankly, of watching Florida State in the Orange Bowl. And I know that wasn't Florida State's football team, but hey, they're down 30. They're down 40. They're down 50. It was so god awful, you couldn't turn it off because you just wanted to see how this thing was going to come to the end. And that's how I was watching Virginia last night. I mean, I could have turned it off at the 15 minute mark and they're down 20, but I'm like, are they going to actually have a run? Where they make three or four shots in a row? Well, the answer was no. They got beat by 25, and they're airballing free throws, and it was just one of them nights, man. You know, Tony Bennett's a great coach, and he'll have to figure it out and make some adjustments, and I think he will. But there's not many. I asked this question to some friends this morning. If you were a fan of whatever team it is, and I don't care what the sport is, and I said to you, I'm going to give you a span of 5 years. Of your favorite team and your favorite sport, and I'm going to guarantee you a national championship, but the other 4 years, you're going to fall flat on your face in big moments in postseason, would you take it? I think the vast majority would say yes.
Yeah, probably so. But then we're hypocrites as fans, so as soon as it turns sour, you forget the fact, hey, we just won a championship. Like, is that not enough to satisfy you? Because you always want more.
I've had people send me today, Pack, should we fire Tony Bennett? I'm like, are you out of your mind? Not only has he brought you a national championship and consistency during a regular season, yeah, you've had some lousy postseason moments other than cutting down the nets, but he's a great fit for what your school represents. And I think Tony Bennett represents Virginia perfectly, quite frankly, on and off the court.
Yeah, I pointed out this morning, I go, you know, Virginia has this really weird insistence on upholding their academic integrity. They will actually kick people out of school for plagiarism, like out of school, not just make them sit a half against Southwest Missouri State.
Yeah, I'm not going to I will not confuse the academic standards at Virginia with the Southeastern Conference. I think we're on two ends of the spectrum from that perspective.
Right. Also, by the way, Tony's dad had the lowest score in the shot clock year in the tournament when they got beat by Missouri State as a 5 seed, 43-32. 32 points for his dad, Dick Bennett, Wisconsin. What did Wisconsin do the very next year? They went to the Final Four. I'm not predicting that for Virginia, but that's just how quickly it can turn around. All right, last question, Pack. So I talked to our boy Gary Williams, formerly of the Golf Channel, and he said to tell me to ask you, do you still do the ACC index card of fouls?
Yes, and I have incorporated that on television. And it's funny, Josh Pastner, before he was let go at Georgia Tech, and now he's doing commentary on ESPN, Pastner would come on the show as the head coach of Georgia Tech, and they won an ACC title, and said, Pack, you have to update my ACC index card every week because I bring it to the coaches' meetings and make a point of who's getting calls and who's not. So, again, another badge of honor for I always – I'm not into this to do conspiracy theories. It's just for you to take the numbers and do with it as you wish. So, yeah, I've been doing that thing, as you well know, since we started that FNZ thing about late 90s. So, what, 25 years?
And the card includes foul or free throws taken.
Yeah.
And is it fouls in a grid by team?
It's fouls, foul margin, free throw attempt margin in ACC games only.
And has it changed over the years?
It's like I said, I'm not into conspiracy theories. It doesn't necessarily – just because you think Duke and Carolina, you think they're going to the line all the time, sometimes the numbers don't prove that out.
Okay.
So it's one of those things. It is a beautiful tool of marketing and of people who can absolutely lose their minds sometimes. They want to see what they want to see. It's one of those things.
Right. Well, during the heyday, during the best teams with Duke and Carolina, they would regularly make more free throws than their opponents attempted.
Oh, yeah.
And that seemed outrageous. But then when you looked at some other power teams and other conferences, they had the same profile. The better teams do that, you know?
It's funny how it works, right? And the thing that would be so great, would you get some coaches go, well, you know, we attack the basket, so therefore we get fouled. And I'm looking at them like, hey, it doesn't matter to me. The numbers are the numbers. How you get to them, I don't really care. I mean, it is what it is.
Good stuff. You know? All right, Pac-Man. Good to talk to you as always. Thank you, bud.
You got it. Take care. Be good, Steve.
All right. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And Fitbod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, Fitbod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add Fitbod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. That's fitbod.me/Zabe.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello.
Pencils down, brackets in. What is up, my brother from another mother? How you doing, buddy?
Good day. My girl's birthday. We're about to go out and get some food later for her.
Nice.
And then come back and watch some basketball. This is a wonderful
day. Come on and watch some basketball. I assume you'd come out hot against Virginia today.
Why?
Else is killing them, right?
They're an ugly thing to watch.
They really are. You know, here's the stat of the day for you. Since 2018, Virginia has 6 tournament wins total. All 6 came when they went and won the national championship. Behold! Hit the post, too. Otherwise, they are an instant exit.
They are. He is a good coach. He's a good coach. But to watch them, I really would shut the blinds next time I hear that they're on TV.
Right.
I'm gonna shut the blinds.
Right. Yeah. It's really bad. And you know what? You can say, well, but his winning, you know, his regular season winning and where the program is warrants, you know, doing whatever it takes. But at some point, you have to play a style of basketball that is not disgusting.
That's aesthetically beautiful, at least, yeah.
Right, because it's kind of like the modern equivalent in the shot clock era of the four corners. The four-corner offense was employed back in the day by including such luminaries as Dean Smith on occasion, and it was just terrible to watch.
But you know what? I will say this, as ugly as they are to watch, they're still better than the University of Maryland.
Oh, my God. So, yeah.
Thank you, Mark Turgeon. he's been gone 3 years.
You're still blaming him. Why don't you blame the new guy? Hey, Willard.
No. Because the other guy was a terrible recruiter and coach for 4 years, which then puts you 3 years behind the eight ball now.
Okay.
It's a trickle down effect.
It's outrageous. Yes. You're like Don King right now, just riffing. It's just outrageous. Like, preposterous.
Just like UCLA will not be relevant in football for at least 10 years because of Chip Kelly quitting. He recruited like shit, so the next coach will get the shit that he had. It'll just be terrible for like 10 years.
Okay, but bro, ever heard of the portal? Bro, I'm broing you now. You guys better start portaling like mofos at Maryland. You didn't go to Maryland, true. But you're like a quasi-alum, so why don't you cut a check then and get them in the portal?
I will cut my check to University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Ah, but yes, your alma mater.
I'm just making excuses on that one. I can make an excuse for anything.
I know, shit. You know what? Never pay athletic programs. And never donate to campaigns.
Yeah, UMBC is the degree on my wall now.
Right.
If University of Maryland, not on my wall.
Right, right. Never donate to campaigns or athletic departments, or especially nil funds.
Exactly.
Because nil funds are the biggest scam ever. In fact, I've got one for you here. Ready? Iowa native Caden Proctor, who I think is a football player, although he's pictured in a basketball arena.
Yes, from Iowa.
Yes, Caden Proctor, yes. Committed to Iowa, flipped to Bama in high school, plays 1 year, enters the portal, then commits to Iowa about the same time to the Iowa Swarm, which is their nil fund, gets $100,000. He collects his NIL money, then re-enters the portal and doesn't have to pay Iowa one penny back.
That's called working the system.
It is called working the system. But it ain't going to be long before these universities say, hey, guys, how long are we going to do this? This is madness here. We got to get our fucking sport back.
I said that's where I know it's scum. It's scumbaggiest.
Right.
That's not a word. I just made that up.
Yeah, sure.
But I would work the system. Can I make that new word? Scumbaggiest?
Scumbaggiest. No? Yeah, scumbaggiest. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. That's good stuff right there. So, yeah.
Please tell me when we're getting to Kenny Pickett. Well, to me, somewhere we're getting to Kenny
Pickett.
Oh,
that's right.
I just want to come out of I want to come so hot with this.
Okay. First of all, it's been a week, and I forgot. I should have made a list of things that have happened between Jay visits.
There's no rundown for you. What's that about?
I thought I'd go more casual today to make it more like a conversation on the phone.
Okay.
Sue me, for God's sakes. Kenny Pickett has been traded. There you go. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. What sayeth you, Jay?
This dude did the dumbest thing of all time, which – I would have sat behind Russell Wilson, and he would have played it well. And how are you asking me how I would have played it well? Here's what I would have done. I would have sat behind Russ, and then the guy would have loved him for, like, the next year. Why? Sitting behind a black quarterback, the fans, white fans love that.
They love the white backup is what you're saying.
They love the white quarterback. Quarterback is riding in on a white horse. He could have sat there and just heard the boos for Russ, and then he just sat there with his cap backwards, came in with the pad whenever he went to the sideline and pointed out, Russ, we should do it. He would have been loved. But no, this dummy had to just go, I would have leave now. He could have been the man, but that's it.
Unless you've got a good black quarterback who you don't want to see benched, then it doesn't matter how white the backup is. He could be Zach Wilson white, and you're still not going to want him.
At some point, they turn on the black quarterback. You know,
Turn on a brother, man.
Do you remember the Houston Oilers turned on Warren Moon? And used to ask for Cody Carlson. Cody fucking Carlson! Are you kidding me?
I don't recall that. I wasn't living in Houston. Your memory may be a bit anecdotal. How was Warren Moon playing at the time? Did his arrest for domestic violence factor into this at all?
There is at no point that you ever asked for Cody Carlson or Warren Moon. I don't care.
You say they were asking. Like, you know, who was they? One idiot caller on the radio.
Fans and media. Wait a minute, I got one sooner. Remember when Cam was having a little, you know, they were asking for Derek Anderson. Derek Anderson. Are you kidding? Derek Anderson sucks. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
This happens 90% of the time.
So you genuinely feel that black quarterbacks still don't get an even shake in the NFL?
No. I'm not saying that.
Oh, but you're saying that the white backup is catnip for the white fans.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
All right. Can you admit?
Hating the white. Wait a minute. Well, RG3. Now that is the reason, because the guy sucked.
Kirk was better.
Right. Yes. That's a reason.
That's the best reason.
I'll give you another one. And I wasn't watching like I was, but I read up on this. Pittsburgh, 1974, Joe Gilliam was a starting quarterback.
He was the first black starter in the NFL.
No, he wasn't. No, there was a
I thought
Marlon,
he was.
Marlon Briscoe with Denver was the first one.
Okay.
But Joe Gilliam was just hated by the Steelers. Well, Joe Gilliam kind of had a serious
There you go. Marlon Briscoe, 1968. Way to go, Jay. You did ace your Black Studies 101 at UMBC. Yes. Became the first black quarterback to start in the NFL in the modern era.
Yes. But then, by the way, what did they do to the white coach? They switched him to wide receiver. But anyway.
Yeah.
Gilliam was a good coach, but he hit a rough spot, and then they put Darren Bradshaw in. But he kind of had a drug use. So again, there's a caveat to everything in this.
Yeah. Well, all right. Can you at least admit then, if we're going to play this game, let's make the traffic flow two ways. Can you at least admit that Mike Tomlin is the president of the Hook a Brother Up Club now that he's traded to acquire Justin Fields?
Oh, yeah. Oh, now the Hook a Brother Up, the Ravens, they had like four black quarterbacks. So there's nothing to do with that. Remember when the Jaguars had like four black quarterbacks and one with David Garrard and that makes me laugh when they had that.
Okay. Did Tomlin not hire who was the fired coach in Cleveland who was on Hard Knocks and didn't look good doing so? He's terrible. He ends up, they hired him as like a special assistant. It would look like his career was going to be over. Why can't I think of his name right now, for God's sakes? Browns.
Who are you talking about?
Browns head coach. He kind of made up a job for him.
Oh, you know what? He hired Matt Canada. That's hooking up. Because he hired it, because he gave his son a scholarship.
Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson. I believe Steelers hire Hugh Jackson special assistant. So in other words, interview.
He probably did. I'm not saying I don't remember it, but he probably did.
Okay, so question. Are you excited about the Justin Fields acquisition? Very cheap, sixth round pick. Now you're not gonna pick up his fifth year option. So Okay. So what do you think is most likely to play out in Pittsburgh?
It could be Russ has a good year, but they like what they see from practice and Fields. And they, you know, say, thank you for your time, Russ, but we're going to go. Somebody asked me, so what are they going to do? They have a situation about who to give money next year. And I said, well, they give the guy to the guy who is not 36. It's not that hard.
All right, but that would assume, and they've already said, that Wilson's the starter. So
which he more than likely is. Yeah, okay. They did. They already said they're not going to have a
– Right.
Yeah.
What if Wilson never leaves the field? And what if, Fields never gets on?
I can see that not happening. I think he will take the field. Okay. I see that happening at some point.
All right, he gets 51%. By the way, can you shake your phone? I hear some water in there. Must have gone swimming earlier today. It's giving me a weird echo right now.
Let me try. Hold on.
I joke about shaking it. Honestly, I think that's
How's that? Any better?
No, I'm still getting a bounce back. Son of a bitch. Are you in Bluetooth?
No, I'm on my...
You're holding it to your face like a sucker?
Yeah, buds. Okay. Yeah, I'm on my phone buds.
Are they plugged in?
Yes, they're plugged in. Yeah.
Wow, that's weird. Okay. Unplug them if you don't mind. Just to test to see if that's the case. All right. You with me, Jay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that.
I know. I hate making people hold the phone to their ear, but don't worry. This will be over soon enough.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah. Well, okay. So look, you got two quarterbacks that are coming into their last year. You'll have to make a decision at the end of the year. They've already hinted they're going to give Russell Wilson a long-term contract. I would say please hold off on that till you see the whole story. And maybe you do get a 50-50 split, and maybe Justin Fields makes the jump finally, And it's an easy call to give him a new deal and say, see you later, Russ.
I see it playing out, like I said. Russ plays well. They have some packages for Fields. And at the end of the season, they're like, thank you, Russ, for your time. But we're going to go in another direction. I can see that happening.
All right. Back to the tournament, shall we? Couple nuggets that are coming out now. First of all, there are a bunch of teams that declined the NIT. You ready?
Yes.
Arizona State, Cal, Florida State, Indiana, Maryland, Memphis, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Oregon State, Pitt, St. Bonnie's, St. John's, Stanford, Syracuse, USC, and Washington. Holy shit. Those are all schools that said, yeah. No, don't invite us. We're busy that weekend.
Well, I know why Maryland can't do it, because a bunch of guys are leaving for the portal. So they probably wouldn't have, like, they probably have six guys.
Yeah, there's like 450 people in the portal right now already. Could have been more after I had lunch today. So is the NIT doomed, if they don't delay the portal, to die?
Probably.
And nobody will die. And nobody will cry, right?
Like the Pro Bowl. That's going to it's going to go that way.
Okay. All right. Who do you like in the Final Four? Give me some thoughts on the first round matchups.
I'm sorry to say, I don't know well enough to know. I'm not going to lie.
Come on. Jay Stradamus.
I don't have any. I haven't watched enough of college basketball.
Neither have I. That doesn't stop you. Have you heard any buzz about certain teams?
No. I literally don't. This was the first time I've seen Virginia all season.
Okay.
Was today. I mean, I have watched UConn. I know they're very good. Houston last weekend, I watched that game. And they were like, this is the number two team. And they got
country.
They got run. Yeah. I do not know. Here's what's funny. Yeah. Ask me about the women's tournament. And I had a few thoughts on that because I watched more. I'm just not going to give you – I'm not going to sound stupid and tell you something I don't know.
Okay. Well, I mean, you could still have a hunch on these things. One caller to my show in the morning said he absolutely waits to fill out his pool sheet until the last minute Thursday morning, which most online pools allow you to do. They don't make you pick the so-called card table games, as I call them, right? And he says his reason for doing it, I said my reason was because I'm lazy and procrastinate. But he said, oh, no, I like to watch the NIT games and the first four to get a better read on what conferences may be strong or weak. And we all pretty much laughed at him thinking, okay, you're an idiot.
Yes, I was going to say, yes, you are a moron. Yes.
But if Virginia, which scored 14 in the first half... A score, Jay, worthy of the green and red vinyl flip scoreboard on PVC pipe that we used to have as little kids in the gym. Remember that thing?
Yes.
If they came in third in the ACC, doesn't that make you want to kind of fade North Carolina just a bit? Maybe that guy had a point.
Wait a minute. Did you watch the ACC final? Did you watch that tournament?
I did, yes. NC State, North Carolina.
I did like North Carolina State because I like the
big
chubby.
Guy.
Everybody loves the chubby center.
They love it. DJ Burns. DJ Burns. Dump truck Burns. Can't guard him. Backs in. Beep, beep, beep.
You remember the meat hook?
Yes, Demetri Young. Demetrius
Hill. Yes.
From Florida, right?
Oh, there you go.
Ding, ding.
Love the chubby center who wears a shirt, undershirt.
undershirt guy. Why do I remember more about old tournaments than I do about the current one? That's kind of sad.
Those guys stayed for 4 years. You remember all of them all season.
I know.
Oliver Miller.
Yeah, another guy.
Chubby center with a t-shirt.
Stacy Berger King at Oklahoma. Boom. Let's just start naming old NCAA players. Go. Khalid El-Amin, UConn.
again, who I might have, you know, resembled in high school. In fact, yes.
Okay.
I
might have, yeah. Go. You're next.
Oh, really? You're going to hit me with this
yeah,
now?
Yeah, this is good for your recovery from your mini stroke.
Was Pitt Snoggle, was he chubby?
Kevin Pitt Snoggle, West Virginia.
Was he chubby?
He was doughy.
Okay.
He was doughy. Derek Chevious, 1980s, really? Missouri.
Derek Chevious. Really chubby? Randolph.
Randolph Childress?
No, Wake? Randolph from Michigan State. Randolph what? Played, what's lacking after the his first name? Randolph.
Randolph.
Now
you've got my radar. You got my radar jammed. You can't think of first and last names. Jay, are you seeing a recovery, a therapist to help you recover from your mental incident?
I've given you two names and just remember.
Why you gave me half of one name.
Oh, my God.
Well, you gave me Pitt Snoggle. You gave me a name and a half.
Kevin Pitt Snoggle. I didn't know Kevin.
Okay. Tyus.
Randolph. What? Tyus. Why do I think of?
When you say Randolph, I think of Randolph Childress.
You're not naming chubby guys. You're just naming guys.
No.
Tyus Edney.
Yes.
Not chubby.
Oh,
not chubby
shit.
At all.
Okay. No wonder why we were crossways. I thought we were just naming random guys.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were naming chubby.
My bad.
Okay. Sorry. My bad.
who else would be a chubby guy? I'm
trying you want ice cream, I want chocolate. That's what we're
well, we were deprived.
Zach Randolph.
Yeah, the former Memphis Tiger or Memphis Grizzly.
Oh yeah, I was saying Michigan State alum.
Yeah, he was nasty. That guy was some nasty business inside. You better watch out, man. Zach Randolph come at you.
Liked him.
Yeah. Let's see who else. Yinka Dare, George Washington.
Oh,
Ansu Cisse, Mississippi State.
Fennis
Dembo, Wyoming. Now we're just going on the silly names. Dwayne Shincius, Florida.
Toby Bailey,
UCLA. He was pretty sweet back in the day.
No, he wasn't.
I think he was drafted.
No.
Okay.
I mean, he had a good five or six games, and that was it.
Was Toby Bailey drafted? I mean, you know, you're right. He's not much of anything. He was just first team All Pac-10 for 3 years.
And then
second round draft pick by the Lakers.
And in the pros,
yeah. Well, were you All Pac-10, Jay?
No. Yes, I was.
No, no, in, what years? 86, 87,
88.
All right, let me. Oh shit!
I can have you make fun of. So we were laughing about the 14 points that Virginia had. I may or may not have played once on a team who played Eastern High School. Eastern High School used to be the school right across Memorial Stadium until they closed it down. We might have played on a team that scored 37 points in an entire game, and I might have led the team with 9 on that team. I may or may have not. I'm not going to say it happened. I'm not going to deny it.
Okay.
37 points.
All right.
That's it.
Here's one of the best names and one of the best sort of side character players in college basketball history, Jimmer Fredette.
Oh.
Jimmer Fredette from BYU.
Keith Van Horn,
Utah.
The white tail rider.
That's right. He had a pretty good career in the NBA.
Great. He had a great career. And then, Randolph Childress, they had a special on the ACC tournament over the weekend. His weekend in the ACC tournament is still one of the greatest ones I've ever seen. He could not miss.
All right, so even though you haven't watched much, if not any, college hoops, and I'm in the similar boat,
other than Maryland,
yeah, I'm in a similar boat. Will you watch the tournament with as much zeal as usual?
I'll probably want to watch Purdue and lose and hope for them because I don't like them.
Right.
Do I have a Cinderella team that I like? I'm trying to think.
Jay, just watch it all. Come on. What else can you watch?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, the Big Ten schools I do know about, so I will watch that. Okay. I will watch those games. Right. I'll watch Wisconsin because I watch Wisconsin a lot.
Okay, there you go. Frank Kaminsky. There's another one for you, random player. Frank the Tank. All right. Netflix has moved on from trying to get quarterbacks to be part of season two of their, you know, documentary series, Quarterback. So they're going with wide receiver. That's the new name and new focus of next year's series. Devontae Adams is one of those guys. Question.
That's not going to go well.
Question, at what position do you finally tap out and go, nope, don't need to see that?
Wide receivers.
Really? You don't want to see? I mean, I'll be interested in this. Running back, I'd be a part of. Maybe O-line, I'd be. But once you get to long snapper or punter, I'm out.
Right. If they do one for the kickers, I'll get. But this one's going to be like a season of Cribs. They're going to have their lavish life. No, that one I could care less about seeing wide receivers say it's all about me.
You ready for another stat of the day? During the 2003 NFL season, Tyreek Hill got more women pregnant than the Panthers won games 3-2.
Do we want to see that? That's what I'm talking about. Do you see,
fuck yeah, you see? I do.
Really? Ugh.
Oh, dude.
I'll just watch that with embarrassment about all of them. Just think, oh, God, don't make us look bad again.
Marvin Harrison Jr. will not be working out for scouts at his pro day either. He did not work out for anyone at the combine.
Why does he have to?
Well,
why do players have to work out?
This is the first time that people can recall somebody didn't do anything for the scouts.
I would tell everybody who asked me, you know, to work out, look at my tape. You seen it. There you go. Okay. I don't understand why you have to work out and do a 40 and they had one thing in the how hard you throw the ball. And I was like, this is a dumb. Why do you have to know that? How hard you can throw. That was dumb.
Right. The NFL Competition Committee is proposing a modified kickoff and a ban on hip drop tackles. The referees say they believe they can effectively identify and call the hip drop. Do you believe them?
No, I do not believe it at all.
Okay. The modified kickoff is going to be like the XFL kickoff, where you kind of stand still at the same yard line on the plus side of the field and wait for the returner to catch the ball before you start running. It's a kickoff, but it ain't much of one.
What was wrong with the old way? What am I wrong about
this?
It
was dangerous, Jay. People got hurt. It's mean. Wedge-busting concussions. I'm like, yeah, that's every fucking play in this game. Nothing is safe about pro tackle football. Jesus, you ever seen it? It's insane. Until you put weight limits on these guys by position, it's going to be a demo derby with dump trucks with rockets attached to the back. What do you think is going to happen?
When are they going to outlaw a pulling tackle?
Right. Right.
They're going to say, nope, can't do this anymore. Get a running start and hitting someone. That's an outlaw.
Jay, sounds preposterous, but they've already outlawed the crackback block, which once upon a time was perfectly legal.
Oh, go look at Hines Ward picking off people.
He was the king. He was the king of the sniper crackback. It's like, if you got to play that reverse direction, you better keep your head on a swivel.
He hit Eunice's boyfriend one time, Ed Reed. On a back crack. Oh my God! I thought he was dead.
Sidebar: do you and Eunice have beef?
No.
Oh, okay, good. Well, you said his boyfriend. That sounded derogatory.
I'm being funny because that's his boo boo.
Okay.
Everywhere you see Ed, you see Eunice. I should laugh if I said that.
That's funny.
Don't start shit. That's you. Yeah,
okay.
Stop it.
Well, you said boyfriend. That typically amongst guys is a derogatory, homophobic adjacent slur.
No, it's not. Okay. No, it's dead. No, right. we'll let the
listeners. Listeners, you can rule in on this. Email me.
Right. Somebody will aggregate. No, what's an aggregate? What's what when people make shit up on podcasts? Oh. Aggregate. Yeah, somebody will do that and then send it to you know Yudis. Jay's talking shit, or he's making a promo.
Agitate.
No,
agitate. No,
I just said it. Aggregate. Yeah.
No, agitate.
Someone of your
agitator. Yes.
Some one of you dickweed listeners will now start something and say, oh, he's making fun of Eunice. No, I'm joking around with Eunice.
Jay, what if it's a listener who loves your appearances here and is a huge Jay fan?
Don't care either way.
Okay.
Don't care
All right.
either way.
Did you see this? Saquon Barkley called his daughter when she found out that he had signed with the Eagles. Here was her response.
But my daughter, funny story with her, she knows there's a lot of history in my career with the Eagles. I remember one time when I was with the Giants and we lost to Philly in the playoffs, we went to diner to get some breakfast and there was a bird and she was like, Daddy, oh no, oh no. And I'm like, what is it? She points to the bird and she was like, it's the Eagles, it's the Eagles. And me and Anna, you know, we just started laughing and I just put my head down and just kind of start shaking. So when I told her that we're going to be going to Philly, she kind of was just like, does that mean we're going to win now? And I just start smiling again.
Okay.
Does that mean we're going to win now?
Okay.
That is classic. Scott Hansen of NFL Network Red Zone will.
I like.
Yes, he will host each day of the Paris Olympics a Red Zone styled show called Gold Zone. It will guide viewers to the best and most exciting live moments during the summer games.
Is that watchable? Huh.
But it will still be the Olympics.
But how
so,
many,
yeah.
How many things do you care about to watch?
Not very many at all. B, yeah. It's in Paris. The time difference means it'll be at midnight or later. So you'll know the results already if you do care about any of these events.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one because there's a lot of things I don't care about. A lot of events I really don't care about.
Okay. Yeah. Here's one for you. The list of the 10 worst umpires in Major League Baseball is out.
Oh, I know. If
Angel Hernandez isn't 1-1.
He will be.
Then there's nothing just in the world.
Laz Diaz is going to be the other one. And C.D. Bruckner will be the third. Right. I know the list was going to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta punch through because, you know, these click whores at the big lead broke it all up. So you got to keep clicking through for next. They can't just give you the list. But okay, they need their clicks. That's how they pay the bills. Fine. Did you see there's a challenge system being, implemented on certain spring training games? Have you seen the challengeable ball strike Robotron mechanics? Have you seen it done?
I have heard about it.
You haven't seen it.
Okay. I've not seen it. No.
Okay. You got to see it. It's wild. So there was a call that was called a ball. The catcher challenged it. They go to the animated computer replay and you see the pitch curving. Uh-oh. It looks like it's going to be low and away. And oh, it just nicked the corner of the strike zone on the computer animation. Yeah, you're out of here. It was wild. Jay, it caught 1/16th of the corner, according to the computer.
Oh, that's going to piss a lot of batters off. A lot of batters off.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, so Angel Hernandez is one.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. C.B. Buckner.
Did I not just say number two?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you did. You know your shitty umpires right there.
Number three, Laz Diaz.
Okay, hold on a second. C.B. Buckner is two. I got to go back previously. Number three, Hunter Wendelstedt.
Well, oh, wow. His dad was a legendary umpire back in the day. Harvey?
No, Harry. Harry.
No, his dad.
Yes, his dad is Harry. He's Hunter.
Yeah, okay.
So Harry Wendelstedt was an umpire for 32 years. Hunter is 52, but he's been around since 98.
And he sucks.
Well, exactly. He thinks he is royalty when it comes to umpiring. I was combining umping and umpiring. Umpeting. Doug Eddings is fourth, believe it or not. He's a mainstay, writes the big lead on these lists, and there's a good reason. He sucks. He's legitimately one of the worst umps in baseball history. He'll be the first to yell at any player or manager who questions any of his calls.
Yes. Yes.
Doug Eddings.
Laz Diaz, not on that. I'm surprised.
Hold on. We're only to 4 out of 10. Brian Onora.
Know him well. He sucks. Yes.
He was arrested in a sexting operation in Ohio, charged with solicitation, but pleaded guilty to 2 counts of disorderly conduct, was somehow not fired.
Okay.
Number 6, your boy Laz Diaz.
Yeah. Okay.
The 60-year-old has been a crew chief. He's worked 3 World Series, which is kind of shocking, but also shocking he has still has a job. In 21 games behind the plate last year, his accuracy was 92.9. That ranked 6th worst in the league. He had 10 games with 10 or more missed calls and 4 with 16 or more missed calls. Okay? 7, Ron Culpa. He was the guy who got headbutted by Carl Everett back in 2000.
I remember, yes.
he's number 7. Number 8 on the list, Rob Drake.
Ooh, no idea who that is. I have no idea who that is.
Okay, a little bit younger looking guy. Number 9 on the list is Dan Iasonia. No idea who that is. And number 10 on your list is Emil Jimenez.
I did know 3. I thought that Diaz, Buckner, and Hernandez, the axis of evil, as I like to call them, umpires. I thought they would be the top 3, but I was wrong.
Okay. Anything else before we get to FTG for the week?
Are you watching baseball at all for the Brewers or?
Yeah, dabbling in it. Looks like 20-year-old prospect Jackson Chourio is going to make it to the big club on opening day. That's good.
I'm just wondering how the Orioles are going to win it down because they have like too many people who are good. How do you have a season?
What are your expectations for the Orioles this year?
Jackson Holliday will make, you know, the 27. He'll make that.
Is this a World Series year on your racket?
It better be a appearance. Or the championship.
Even though you didn't win a playoff game at all last year, got swept.
I can see why they, you know, their first time being there, I get it. They were swept by the Rangers. But now it's like, okay, all bets are off.
Okay.
Keep running the playoffs.
All right.
Has X made his picks yet? When is that going to happen? I can openly laugh at what he picks.
Well, X and his son was on with us yesterday on the podcast. I don't think I wrote down their final 4 picks.
Okay.
So, yeah. By the way, one more thing. Oh, I gave this yesterday. Never mind. I won't give it to you. All right. I think that's pretty much it. I just need to get FTG up here, but I, for some reason, cannot find it at a split second. One more thing real quick. Doesn't even have to be sports related.
Okay. Do I have something?
Just something that you would say, you know.
Oh, God. Well, I have gotten rid of all movie channels on TV now.
Oh, really?
Or paying for them. There was one day I was trying to watch something on HBO, and I looked up and said, there are no new movies. There's no shows that I care about. I was like, honey, let's get rid of this one too. TV is unwatchable right now.
You know, they're going to make another Ghostbusters. It comes out this weekend.
You know, they're remaking Roadhouse.
Of course.
I'm like, there's nothing good to watch on TV now.
Yeah, it's sad. These studios don't want to take any risks on anything new. Yeah. I think the last like new concept, big budget, big star movie that you go, wow, I never thought of that idea, was Castaway with Tom Hanks.
They just are afraid to make anything. Do you remember the movie? This was on Tubi. That's a show, Tubi.
I know Tubi's an app. It's very good. Tubi has a lot of good stuff on it. A lot of good old content.
They showed Internal Affairs the other day. Do you remember that movie with Andy Garcia and Richard Gere?
Yes.
About a bad cop? There is no way they would show that movie today because everybody would be up in arms about watching that. But I'm like, that's a great epic movie.
Why? Because there is a... Why would they be up in arms about it? Richard Gere, Andy Garcia, Nancy Travis as the lead love interest with Lori Metcalf.
Yes.
Hubbada hubbada. Trying to think of anyone else you might know as an actor or an actress.
One of the Baldwin brothers was in it too.
Okay, and what people be upset about it because why? Internal affairs agent becomes obsessed with bringing out a cop who has managed to maintain a spotless rep despite being involved in a web of corruption.
The language. Okay. Richard Gere's character was one of the worst in the history of the world. a lot of sex. They don't show that anymore in movies.
That is true.
Because we can't have that anymore.
I know.
They would never show that movie again. They would never make that movie again.
Well, it was rated R, and they don't make R-rated movies anymore because it limits their audience.
Yeah, no.
That sucks. All right, so.
Great movie, though.
All right, with that said, we conclude with a rousing rendition of FTG.
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
All right, Jay, who do you got this week?
This is for fans that I'm sure you have on your Wisconsin show. But if you ever have these fans again, clearly play a sounder or a buzzer whenever you hear this fan. Hey, Steve, long time, first time. I've been a Green Bay Packer since 19, blah, blah, blah. Nobody gives a fuck how long you've been listening. You've been a fan. Shut up. I hate those guys. I hate those fans more than anything. Like, just because you've been a fan since 1964, I don't give a fuck.
You might have been a bad fan for all those years, right?
I don't care.
A front-running fan.
I hate those guys. Please hang up on them immediately. Just get to your call. Don't tell me how long you've been a fan. I've been a Brewer fan since 1972. Nobody cares.
Nobody Shut needs up. Your resume. Get to your point.
Thank you.
Yes. To that guy, Jay says,
fuck those guys.
All right, my FTG goes to one Jim Harbaugh, now your head coach for the LA Chargers. He's making, I think, $7 million a year on a huge new deal. Made a ton of money at Michigan. Guess what he had at his Michigan house in his driveway yesterday?
You tell me what, Dave.
A fucking garage sale. Are you kidding me?
How about every guy?
Unbelievable.
That's funny.
It's
That's
like,
funny.
No. Just donate it all, for God's sakes. A garage sale. You are the worst, Jim Harbaugh. Fuck that guy.
I really hate your ass right now.
I would have gone there and said, where's Coach? Is he here? No, he's in L.A. We're just running it for him. He had some stuff he didn't want to take with him to L.A., just, you know, whatever. What if you're like a creep, like, any Mrs. Harbaugh's lingerie? Hey, buddy, get out of here, will you? I will never, ever have another garage sale in my life. Not since we had one in Charlotte, and a guy came up and said, you got any electronics here? And I go, no. What is in the driveway is it. Is he got any inside? And I go, okay, we're done here. He was casing my house. Dick. You're going to say.
Did you move me off this day because you got one guy saying I sucked being on Friday again? Is that why you moved me?
No, really? I moved you.
I'm being funny.
I moved you because, number one, you're now available to a wider audience on Thursday from out behind the Berlin paywall. And also because Scott and that player you will not want me to name is on Friday now. Again, back on Friday.
I was being funny about that. I thought that was funny. You got to email. Being funny. You know,
all
like
right.
I care about all this stuff.
Carol the heckler does not like you. But guess what? You know what, Carol? Fuck you. Because I'm tired of your shit. You listen. You just listen. I'll give you the entertainment, all right?
Has she wrote anything in a while?
Yeah, she wrote me to rip your ass. And we're now out of music. So there you go. All right, okay. Jay, as Ken Beatrice taught us to say.
Bye-bye now.